This podcast is presented by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at www.uctv.tv. Enjoy the presentation.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming this afternoon. What we've hoped to do today is really give you an opportunity to see what's available at UCSB in terms of company interactions. It's going to be a great day. We've invited and have a lot of leading local companies with us, and we're going to give you a great snapshot of what's available through UCSB in terms of how you can interact with us and how we can both benefit from that relationship. The first speaker on today's agenda is the Dean of the College of Engineering, Matthew Terrell, and I think he's going to give you a little bit of the vision in terms of how the College of Engineering really sees itself working with businesses and how that relationship can be beneficial for all of us.
Thanks, Andy, and everybody. Welcome. On behalf of the College of Engineering, and this really is designed to represent science as well as engineering, so I'll welcome you as well on behalf of Acting Dean of Science Steve Gaines and former Dean of Science Martin Moskowitz, who many of you know as well. We are going to focus in what I talk about engineering to give you a little snapshot of who we are and where our expertise lies and the successes that we've had in interacting with industry, which I think are considerable. But having said that, I want to start off with, you know, our main mission, which is to educate people in the direction of technology leadership and to do it in the special environment of UC Santa Barbara, which is very broadly interdisciplinary, and that word is starting to get overused. We didn't invent it, and we don't have a monopoly on it, but I think if you talked around the country at various research organizations, universities, and otherwise, where different expertise can easily be brought to bear on problems, UC Santa Barbara would be near the top of everybody's list. We also have sort of entrepreneurial strengths, and some of this stems from our youth and our new approaches to things, and some of it has to do with our desire to actually instigate new ideas in society, new business ideas, new educational ideas, and so on. So to give you a little bit of quantitative information, the College of Engineering cracked the top 20 this year in terms of the U.S. News rankings of Colleges of Engineering. U.S. News doesn't rank all departments simultaneously, so this is a combination of last year's rankings and this year's rankings. But as you can see, all of our departments are in the top few dozen of engineering departments across the country, and several are in the top 10 or near top 10. We don't necessarily believe all the things that go into these rankings, but they have a big impact, for example, on student recruitment and so on. So it's important that we pay attention to the criteria that go into them, and so we continually do. There's other kinds of rankings. I'm going to go on this a little bit more, but U.S. News has a weighted set of criteria. The Chronicle of Higher Education recently released a ranking that was based almost entirely on publications and grant activity. And again, our materials science and engineering department ranks highly, as does electrical engineering. Interestingly, biomedical engineering is ranked in the top 10. We don't have a biomedical engineering department, but that's not a joke, because what they did was decide what's biomedical engineering based on who publishes in the biomedical engineering literature. And you're not excluded from publishing in the biomedical engineering literature for not having a department. So people are having impact in fields, and our belief here is that we can do a lot of things across disciplinary boundaries, and you don't have to have I'd go a little farther. The last thing we need is another department when every department in the College of Engineering is working with computational science and engineering and with material science and with engineering at the interface with biology and many other kinds of interdisciplinary subjects. I'm not going to go through all of this in detail, but there are some very nice recognitions. As far as faculty size is concerned, our faculty is number one this year, in the percentage of faculty in the National Academy of Engineering. That's 17% of our faculty out of the 140 faculty members. And literally number one. That's not number one among public schools or anything. It's number one. If you look at highly cited papers in fields, you can see that we have a whole list, about 10 or so, where the work is being used by other people in their own publications. And then moving down farther, I've already mentioned the National Academy. Two of the Nobel Prize winners on this campus have appointments in the College of Engineering. We also have a great deal of entrepreneurship activity among the faculty. Almost 30% of the faculty have engaged in one kind of startup venture or another. Not always successful, but people have engaged in the act of entrepreneurship, and there's been consequently a significant amount of funding and merger and acquisition activity related to UC Santa Barbara spinoffs. We're a relatively new faculty. Our entire history is about 40 years, stemming back to the first dean of engineering, who's pictured there under 1965, Al Conrad, who came with a group of electrical engineers from Yale and brought the blueprints for the Yale Electrical Engineering Building, which is now known as Harold Frank Hall, complete with coat closets for their boots and a building that has its back turned to the ocean so that they can see the mountains. I don't really get it. Some of the first prominent things that happened on this campus were Glenn Culler, who's pictured there with President Clinton, getting the National Medal of Technology that established UC Santa Barbara as one of the first four nodes of the ARPANET at that time. UCLA claims to be the first node of the ARPANET. I'm not quite sure who they were communicating with at that point, but if that's even possible to be the first node of the ARPANET. A desire to build up material science and an acceleration of multidisciplinary research centers, and a really broad-based expertise, especially in semiconductor device fabrication. And this culminated in awards in the year 2000 to Herb Kroemer and Alan Heeger, both of whom work on semiconductor materials. And again, broadening of the base of interdisciplinary research centers, and as you can see, the funding, that's what that thing in the green arrow is, growing from a couple of million at the beginning to over $80 million a year. So the College of Engineering is a sort of an $80 million a year research operation. If you take science and engineering together here, it's about $150 million, something like that. So it gives you a size, an idea of the size of our research operation. We have a new slide like this, but I haven't incorporated it. This is something that the Office of the President prepares every few years about interactions, and each one of those lines going like this is an interaction that UC Santa Barbara has with a company in California. The last one put it well over 200 companies putting UC Santa Barbara research to work. These are specific countable kinds of things. The company founder is a UCSB, is related to UCSB. These companies support research here, they license technology here, and things like that. So this is just in California. If you did this around the world, the diagram would be exceedingly complicated. There are areas in this college where we believe that you're going to be able to point within 5 or 10 years to work going on here, transforming society at a major scale. For example, the solid-state lighting effort. Aiming at energy efficiency in electronics and so on. The Institute for Collaborative Biotechnology is really creating a new form of non-pharma-oriented biotechnology. A lot of stuff going on in nanoelectronics and photonics, optical communications. And as Gary Hansen will talk about a little bit later, we're also trying to develop a brand new form of technology management education. We have very good success at industrial collaboration. So that's really why we're throwing open our doors. We hope to do this more. Either ones like the Solid State Lighting and Display Center, which is now transformed into the Solid State Lighting and Energy Center, which is a group of 10 companies or more supporting cooperatively work in solid state lighting, or a deep relationship with one company, such as our relationship with Mitsubishi Chemical, which has just been renewed for another 4 years at a pretty high level. So we're able to work with groups of companies, with individual companies, with big companies, and with small companies. And then finally, in this spirit, we are trying to figure out, you may or may not know, that UC Santa Barbara is one of two of the 60 major research universities in the American Association of Universities that has no medical school, no law school, no business school. Law school's definitely out. Medical school's too expensive. Business school comes up again and again as an idea here, and what we're really trying to do is create a distinctive program within the College of Engineering that can address the needs, especially for those people headed toward technology careers in technology-driven companies, I should say. And you'll hear more about that later today from Gary Hansen. So that's sort of the lay of the land, and I really look forward to the discussion here during the afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Our next speaker is going to be Kevin Almaroth, and he is a professor in computer science and also has taken on the recent responsibilities of Associate Dean for Advancement and Planning for the College of Engineering.
Great. Thank you, Andy. So as Andy said, one of my newest titles is Associate Dean for Advancement and Planning. What I wanted to do, particularly for this group, is present a little bit what it means to talk about advancement. Planning is essentially space, IT infrastructure within the college. And so for this group, one of the things that we wanted to do with UCSB Access was to talk about the kinds of things that we're doing with advancement. So one of the goals that Matt had mentioned was that we're trying to raise our awareness, both in terms for rankings, but also in terms of research profile, and certainly profile among those people who will be hiring our graduates, both our undergraduates and then our master's and PhD students. And so that's one of the goals of what we're going to do today, is to talk a little bit about what this interface is between the external community and both our departments, our students, our faculty, and then also our programs and centers. One of the interesting things I think about the college is that we're trying to evolve fairly rapidly in terms of our curriculum. So Matt mentioned the technology management program. You'll hear more about that. On the research front, when you want to expand into new research directions, the way to do that is to start centers. They do become interdisciplinary, both within this college, across colleges, and across campus. So we can build these new programs, we can build new centers, but we continue to have outstanding faculty, staff, and students who sort of make all of it go. The real question then, and the real opportunity that we have in advancement, is to understand how we can better communicate with groups that are external. For this group today, it has to do with the companies that want to hire our students. So if this gap or if this gap exists now, and the way that you interface with students now is through hiring, one of the things that we want to do through advancement is to try and improve the kinds of offerings that companies get when they interact with the college. So for example, you've got corporate relations, which is really leading the charge today. There's the corporate affiliates program. There's development, both in terms of individual donors as well as corporate giving. You know, the kinds of things that we often see are fellowships and scholarships and endowed chairs, really across the entire wave of what the college does, that we try and do some private giving. There's marketing, which puts together pretty slides and really puts together everything that we do to bring everything together. So you can think about corporate and the need for marketing. You can think about development and the need for marketing. And then the two bottom tiers, again, tie back to the students. As you get closer to the students, we feel a real service to what we need to provide for them. Once they become alumni, we certainly want to track them, probably from a development perspective. But we also want to understand how we can build a community. One of the great things that we found in Santa Barbara is that if once a company hires graduates from Santa Barbara, they often like those students and they often come back for more. So we really want to continue to build the program there. And then certainly career services ties into all of these. And again, if you think about this from an advancement perspective, there's really a range of services that we can provide across the entire college to companies looking to hire our students as well as to potentially do research. So the way that this works now is there really are a lot of ways for companies to engage. So Matt mentioned several of which from the research front. There's a number of centers that companies can become involved in. There's the technology management program. There's an overriding current of entrepreneurship. There's all of the recruiting that happens at the student levels. We do a tremendous amount with outreach to try and reach out to communities who traditionally don't have family members who come to college. We have undergraduates, PhDs. One of the things that I would say is if I were to be a company representative, one of the real challenges is to learn how to engage with the college on a variety of different levels, both from recruiting aspects, hearing about presentations, hearing about projects, hearing about business plans that students are writing or companies that they're trying to start, really across the whole range of things that students in the college try and do. And that really then is where the corporate affiliates program comes in. It's really billed as a one-stop shopping. If you have questions about what you would like to get out of the college, who you should talk to in terms of research, who you would talk to about graduate students of a particular type, undergraduate recruiting opportunities, scholarship opportunities, internship opportunities, that's what the corporate affiliates program is designed to do. So if you want to engage the college on lots of different levels, to have an opportunity to hire our students as interns potentially as early as possible, it really happens through the corporate affiliates program. And so we provide ties essentially across the entire board to make all of these programs happen. So I'm really want to show one last slide here. I guess if you're part of marketing, then you get your picture up on the slide. But that's Marie, so she helped me put together these slides. And from a student perspective now, one of the things that we want to help our students do is be able to reach out into the community more, both for part-time internships as well as eventually for full-time opportunities or for graduate school. Normally, this happens through a curriculum process. So you come in, you take a series of classes, maybe there's a career fair now and then, and what we really want to try and do is evolve this for our students. We want to make this into a broader range of opportunities while at the same time creating opportunities for industry to engage all along the way. So we start off with curricular developments, and then you can sort of branch from there. One of the things we've really been emphasizing as of late is to move beyond lecture-style classrooms, to do things like projects, to do things like capstone projects at the end of 4 years to really bring the concepts together. We're also introducing an umbrella group on top of that called Leadership and Team Engineering, again, to teach skills beyond just basic engineering practices. There's technology management, and then there's another program, Venture Acceleration Initiative, that you'll also hear about a little bit. So now what happens is after students get fairly deep into their curriculum, there really are opportunities to do things to become creative engineers beyond just what they'll get from the classroom. At the same time, to really make this happen, here's where we have corporate relations and the corporate program tie-in. It doesn't make a lot of sense to try and do a capstone project. It doesn't make a lot of sense for a student to try and write a business plan if they don't have a sense of what the business environment is like, either in Santa Barbara or in California. So by engaging companies also through this mechanism, we hope to build a stronger relationship with the students. And again, to have faculty tied in into this as well, to do more than just stand up and lecture. So really then the key is to do this from one end to the other and provide these kinds of opportunities across the entire board. And that's essentially what you'll hear about today. So what I've tried to do is drill into some of the functions of what happens in the college. If you look at your agenda, you'll see some of these terms come up over and over again. So Leslie and Andy will be talking about the corporate relations program. You'll hear about the capstones in a couple of departments. You'll also hear more broadly about Light. You'll hear about the technology management program, and you'll also hear about VAI. Those and also some career services opportunities. So those are the kinds of things that we're trying to do to bridge the gap between the students and the companies. So with that, I guess we can move on to the next presentation. So thank you.
And the next person we're going to hear from is Leslie Edwards, who's director of the corporate program. As we start to shift into a little bit more of how you as a business can be involved in some of the things that Kevin and Matt talked about.
Well, I sincerely want to thank you. This is a great day to see as Matt termed it, the doors are finally flung open and we have this opportunity to see our corporate friends and affiliates. And one thing that I would like to say is thank God for the sunshine. Doesn't happen much on campus. Anyway, so I have a kind of deep familiarity with at least Kevin's last diagram. I've been involved in almost every program that he expressed, so I teach courses for the technology management program and was a manager in that program, and I am working with Don Opara in the Venture Acceleration Initiative. And I've also taught on campus various courses over the last 7 years. So I feel that I am kind of part of this program, and it's a great thing to see it succeeding. So what I wanted to do was just give you a flavor for what campus has been doing in the last couple of years to reach its hand out to you and help you gain a better relationship with UCSB. Obviously, you're here with some interest in gaining more of a relationship with UCSB. So today, the program that really Andy put together, who he and I work hand in hand together, we've put together a program called Access UCSB, and this will give you a flavor of what are all the possibilities. I'm going to be brief because we want to end on time, so please come find me and Andy if you want us to expand on any of these opportunities. So just first and foremost, here are the companies that are represented today. You are invited, all of you, from now until the end of our Access UCSB program to listen in and really decide on how you would like to get involved. At the end of this, we'll have a reception, and then at 4, we have a closed board meeting, and you'll hear a little bit about the corporate affiliates program. So there's a great series of opportunities here for you to meet UCSB, and there are all sorts of folks that will give you greater exposure. The things that sciences and engineering have really focused on in the last year and a half, one is we are going to have this as an annual event, but quarterly we have conferences on campus, and I'll go into a little more of that. And then with our team and with the marketing team and a number of other folks, we've come up with an industry portal, which we're very proud of, and we'll go through briefly, but any industry, any company that has an interest in finding out various aspects of UCSB, I think we have one of the best websites I've seen for a university, so you'll get an opportunity to look at that. And finally, Andy will go over our corporate affiliates program. We're very proud of this program because it's taken a couple of years to get off the ground, and we've got huge momentum, and we just have a new corporate affiliate, ask.com, as of a couple of days ago. Okay, raise your hand if you've had an opportunity in the last couple of years to come to any conference hosted by UCSB. Ah, half of the room. Yeah, it's a project or series of projects that we're very proud of. And the far left is a program very specific to the bio side of campus, where they've gone through the process of looking at how industry and as well as researchers would be interested in the, you know, life sciences area. In the middle is a program called Engineering Insights, which will be an annual program that really gives you a clear insight into our major research thrusts and where we're going to be growing in the future. And finally, the little earth on the bottom is a conference that's an annual conference called the Emerging Energy Technology Summit, and very much focuses on what is the future of energy. But I'm very impressed with this next couple of slides. This is just the list of the 140 industry participants that went to the Engineering Insight first ever conference. So there's 140 plus corporations, and probably corporations that you've heard of or that you are representing today. So the next thing I wanted to just make you aware of is something that I think I use daily, and if you are from industry and you're not aware of it, you might want to look into this. It's called the Industry Center. You get to it by going on our College of Engineering website. And essentially what it is your ability to access myriad of things, but important to you as an industry leader. I'm going to go through just the top function on the left-hand side called Access Faculty, but if you're interested in research collaborations with UCSB, accessing students, accessing our intellectual property, These are all, you know, very easily browsable tools, and we update this daily. So there's, for example, the intellectual property and such, or the events. You can gain new information by looking at it frequently. So what I wanted to do is just kind of walk you through how easy this is. So we're going to just go through the tool of Access Faculty. So it allows you to do quite a few things. It's a very neat browser because it's a spider browser, which if you at the very bottom, if you decide you don't know the faculty, you don't know the department, you may not even know a research area, you want to find, let's say, somebody that does research in optoelectronics. So you typed in optoelectronics here at the bottom, the open text search, and you come up with a list of, it'll say, 6 hits of faculty. Well, let's say you just decided to click on the first faculty member, and what you get, and this is now uniformly what you get for all faculty who want to interact with industry, which is a vast majority, you'll get a profile that looks like this. It's got a lot of information on it. It definitely has all the contact information and a short bio, but it's also linked, in addition to the research page for that faculty member. So if there's any area that you say, well, I feel like we have this ability to collaborate with UCSB, this is one of the tools that I use to search for faculty that would be logical. So that was short, and I would happily go into more detail about any aspect of what we do broadly for the corporate, you know, world. But I'm going to hand it over to Andy with just a quick statement that we have also a program which he'll go over that provides kind of a much more customized and detailed relationship with corporations. Thank you.
So within what the college is doing generally for corporate outreach with some of the programs that Leslie mentioned, we have a very specific program that works with a set of companies and really focuses on their needs and interests in interacting with the university. As Matt and Kevin mentioned, the College of Engineering and the Sciences have really recognized that from a faculty standpoint as well as from a student standpoint, having good industry contacts and building programs that bring industry as part of that mix in education is extremely important. So for our corporate affiliates board meeting, I asked our affiliates to consider several questions, but the one I'd like everyone to consider right now is, what is your ideal relationship with the university? And that can be something that is just recruiting or research, or it can be a flavor and variety of things in terms of what you want to get out of the University of California, because we have a lot to offer, both on this campus here and with ties to the broader organization in the UC system, which offers things like matching grants for research. So there's a lot of opportunity for companies like yourselves, and we'd like to help foster that relationship. The Corporate Affiliates Program is really it should almost be Corporate Affiliates possessive, because we work with our affiliate members on their specific interests. Working with the university is a lot like putting together a puzzle. And what we do as the corporate affiliate program is work with our affiliates to recognize their specific goals and make sure that that puzzle comes together in a manner that is best for them. Now, this may seem like something that's easy to do, but it's often easy to miss a piece or to put them together in an order that just doesn't create the complete image or relationship that you're looking for. And that's where our knowledge and being an advocate for your campus or your company and interests on campus can really help you to get more out of your relationship with the campus. These are our current affiliates, many of whom are here today. And as you can see, there are a wide variety of different interests represented, everything from local companies, national and international companies, small to very, very large. And we work with each of them to create an individual plan and understand specifically their own needs and interests in relating to the college and the different programs that you're going to see today to make sure that we help them execute against their goals. So the Corporate Affiliates Program does three things. We create opportunities for our members, we facilitate connections to the university, and we leverage your investment in time, energy, money, and effort. One of the main things that we do is create opportunities for our affiliate members. And we've done that in a variety of ways over the last year, from creating custom events to making specific connections to making sure that they're aware of seminars and other programs that are going on campus. And so if you feel that you're not getting everything that you need out of the university, I would encourage you to talk to us so that we can help create opportunities for you and your business here. The other thing that any relationship takes that we really want to help foster and that I'm going to challenge you with at the end of my presentation is, what are you going to do after today, after you've seen the presentations and you've been exposed to just a slice of what's available on campus, to make sure that that relationship is sustained? And that's really another function of the corporate affiliates program, in making sure that people stay connected and realize the most out of their relationships. And it takes effort. And we all recognize that the world is a very busy place, and UCSB is no different with the demands that faculty have on research, publishing, teaching, and so on. So we really take that role very seriously in making sure that your connection to the university stays alive and that you're taking advantage of those opportunities that we create. Just to mention a few of them, with Raytheon, we've put them in touch with faculty that led to a research proposal that was matched by the state of California. And so out of their membership and their relationship with us, we were able to give them an opportunity to grow their research on campus. The final aspect that we really deal with, and I'm sure this is a common interest for every company that's here today, is around recruiting. And in this aspect, we really try and leverage any interaction that you have with the university to make faculty, staff, and students broadly aware of who you are as a company, what your interests are, and also how that relationship can grow in the future. As Kevin mentioned, we really try and work with our affiliates to help them meet both their short-term goals of immediate hiring needs, but also their long-term objective in being a premier company on campus in terms of recruiting. And that means not only recruiting for this year, but having internship programs and setting up sustainable initiatives that help to build a pipeline for that company in the future. So as you think about and you hear about different programs that we have today, I would encourage you to think how we can bring that together for you. As has been mentioned, what you're seeing in terms of the capstone programs, in terms of the student organizations, is just a slice of what is available within the College of Engineering and the Sciences. And what we want to help you do as an affiliate is find those parts that make sense specifically to your interests and then put them together in a way that makes sense. So I certainly encourage you to talk to Leslie or myself after this during the reception, and I'd be more than happy to also explore any other avenues or areas that you don't hear about today that you'd like to explore. And on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Tevik Bolton, who's a professor in computer science. He, along with Rich Walsky, led the senior capstone project for the computer science department. And as you can see from our affiliates and from the people that are attending here today, computer science is one of the most competitive areas on campus for recruiting and the one where companies have the most interest.
Thanks, Andy. Andy was actually very instrumental in helping us establishing this capstone project with the industry partnership. And I see this as a great example of partnership between industry and university, beneficial to everybody involved. And this is at the education, not at the research level. I think you see a lot of collaborations at the research level, but this is at the education level. And since I'm from computer science department, I have to advertise our department a little bit. In the last 10 years, our department grew significantly. You know, we were 19 faculty 10 years ago. Now we are 29 faculty. Our research funding was under $2 million a year. Now it's over $6 million a year. And our graduate enrollment grew significantly. Now we have more than 100 PhD students and about total of 160 or more graduate students with MS PhD program. undergraduate enrollment, you see that CS enrollment there on the left is, you know, dot-com boom and bust and went up and came down. This trend is everywhere in the nation. This is not our only UCSB problem. This is everywhere. And what part of the problem we hear, students think the jobs are going to Asia because of offshoring. And any study that's done says it's not so. So there is this impression. And this 189 capstone class, when we interacted with the industry, I was completely convinced that there is no job shortage for computer science students or computer engineering students. So, but this growth, you know, growing quantitatively is not worthwhile if you don't have also increasing quality. And we also have a lot of recent awards in our department, both in research and teaching. And Kevin recently got a Distinguished Teaching Award. We have three faculty members which got this award in the last 5 years. We got Outstanding Graduate Mentorship Award as a department, and also as an individual faculty member got this. And we have also lots of research awards that our faculty members received. So, so that was my advertisement for the department. but the actual the capstone project that I'm going to talk about is a capstone project for computer engineering program. This is a joint program with the with the interdisciplinary atmosphere in this campus between ECE and CS departments, electrical engineering and computer science departments. And it has 13 faculty members from ECE and 8 faculty members from CS. And it's an undergraduate program at this point. And this, we offer BS and BSMS also, 5-year BSMS programs. CE students are required to do a senior capstone project. And so there is a EC version of this, where actually students design a circuit, hardware circuit, and then go fabricate it. They design the circuit in fall. It goes to fabrication in winter. In spring, it comes back. They build some application on it. The CS version is software. It's just that they write a big software system, and they are both two-quarter courses. So what we wanted to do, in the previous years, we would let students pick their own projects and basically come up with project ideas and you know, build something significant. But most of the time, the students are actually interested in some application that will be interesting to the industry. Can we have a startup? That's what their, you know, motivation is. And we observe this. Okay, they want to build these things, and they want to show it to industry, show that they did something that matters. They don't want just an academic exercise. So one thing, we wanted to enhance this process by basically going to industry and asking for project ideas, challenging projects that you can give to students. Then the students can work on them. They know it's relevant to industry, and it's something great for their resume when they are looking for a job. So, well, last fall, we said, okay, let's try this, and Andy helped us to advertise this. And we got amazing response from the industry that we contacted. Almost everybody we contacted said, yes, we would be interested in this. And there was some work to be done for these people. I mean, first of all, we organized a mixer with the students. They came and presented some ideas, some project ideas. Then the first week of classes in winter quarter, we invited them again. They came and gave guest lectures explaining the challenge problems. So I was very, very impressed with how much interest there is for our students. And our students need to know it. And also this is something that everybody should know in high school when they're choosing a major. So how did we run this course? It's a two-quarter course. So in the first quarter, the students build a prototype. After the challenge problems are presented to them, they basically go off and, I was the instructor for the first quarter. They write the requirements specification. They design the product. They build a prototype. And at the end of the quarter, of course, we evaluate what they did and give them some feedback. Beginning of the second quarter, they get some feedback from the industry mentors they have saying, okay, here's what we built. Do you think it's in the direction that you wanted? Get some more feedback. And the big final for this thing is a presentation that's done actually this Thursday. This quarter, it will be this Thursday. There's a capstone project presentation day where we invite a lot of industry partners. they come and listen to these talks by, you know, our graduating seniors. So it's, of course, great for recruitment. And so it has been great for the industry participation has been great, and the projects are actually very good this year. And I will ask all of you to come this Thursday. Location is here, I think. I actually have it in the last slide. These are the five projects from the CS189. I'll just highlight one of them, VDOOP. They're all very cool projects. VDOOP is something Google was interested in. Google wants everybody to know about distributed programming, but they don't want to buy a 100-node cluster to every department. So how do you teach students distributed programming if they don't have a distributed computing system? Well, you use this technology called virtualization. So it's this Xen technology. They built basically the students, our students in this project, built some virtual distributed programming environment where you can write distributed programs. There are two projects from Callwave, Dave is here, and that he mentored, Clever Contacts and Visual Voicemail. There's projects from Citrix Online where for file sharing. So they were all great projects. And students' feedback, these are the comments from last quarter. They all loved it. So they said, and they emphasized that it's great to work on real-world problems. So students really want to have industry contact. They appreciate it. And from my teaching perspective, for example, I learned what are the hot topics, right? Ruby on Rails. I wasn't too familiar with Ruby on Rails. I know now it is very hot, and we have to tell our students a little bit of what that is. And if you don't know it, I understand it's a recent technology. But so things like this come up, and it helps education. So that's the link to the presentation day, and it's going to be June 7th here, actually. And those are the links to Computer Engineering Program and Computer Science Department. Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to hear from Stephen Leggett, who's going to give you a flavor of what the mechanical engineering capstone project is like. I think Kevin Tevik made a very good point that there are some challenges that the departments face and that you, as part of the community, especially a local community, can do a lot to help overcome some of those challenges with attracting students and making computer science an appealing place for students to spend their undergraduate years. But on that note, let me turn it over to Steve Leggett.
Well, welcome. I want to thank Andrew and Leslie for the opportunity to speak with you today. A couple of years ago, I would be in the audience with you. I'm a recent member of the mechanical engineering faculty here. I spent almost 30 years in the medical device industry. What I'd like to share with you today, I've prepared a few slides regarding our capstone design program within mechanical engineering. And I have a site on the bottom here. If you want to go to that link, it provides quite a bit of information regarding what we are doing. I will share with you right now through these slides what this capstone program is about, and specifically how you can interact with the college and the department in our industry partner program. Last year, the industry partner program was started with our projects. And to give you some perspective, you have some perspective in the computer engineering or computer department. Within the mechanical engineering department, this year we have over 100 graduating seniors. We have 23 teams that are working. And you'll see them all on display this Friday in our Engineering 2 courtyard from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. But let me share with you a bit about what our program is about. I'll go through our course description and our objectives, et cetera. First of all, because of my industry experience, I found that working in teams is essential. So all of the seniors are gathered into teams. They provide me their desires in terms of what projects they would like to work on, and we try to put them in the appropriate teams. And this is an experience that's very much a hands-on experience. There's minimal lecture involved. And there is a great emphasis in engineering communication in terms of reports and oral presentations. Okay? And we see our course objectives here. What we emphasize in this program is a design process, a process that involves proper planning, budgeting, a process where there's some benchmarking and understanding how a current device or product is used, and then they begin to develop some hands-on experience develop a final build of that project. Okay? In terms of the topics that we cover, all the way from formation of teams through planning, presentations, analysis, and they eventually go through a testing and evaluation stage. The ideal type of projects are ones that, in terms of working with industry, begin in the fall and end in June. And we see these are the typical kinds of activities that are involved in the fall quarter. It's an enlightening process for them where they now have to define the problem that they are going to solve and then put a plan together on how they are going to solve that problem. And that's our major accomplishment with a proposed conceptual design by the end of the quarter. During the winter quarter, they begin to develop that design. Midway through the quarter, they're going to have a design review where they present this for objective review and faculty is involved. By the end of the quarter, they've conducted some analysis and testing and now have a report to provide. In the spring quarter, they now complete that project and complete the build. I had the great experience last week of reviewing all of the projects. And this year, I just am so pleased with the accomplishments that we have had in what the students have done in a variety of areas. And you'll see them on display this Friday, and I hope you can attend. It provides a broad experience for these students. Okay. In terms of industry partnerships, this year I'd like to thank these teams, and I see some of you in the audience today. We've had a great opportunity working in a variety of areas, and we see here some of the industries involve aerospace, medical devices, and some of the support industries, high-tech support industries that we have in town. Some of our projects, in addition to the industry partnerships, also involve faculty collaborations. So we see here that students have an opportunity to also be involved in research endeavors. Lastly, we have a set of projects that are involved in student competitions. And we have teams competing in these various organizations, SAMPE, SAE, and Biomedical Engineering Society. We have done quite well in terms of design competitions, and some of these competitions, for instance, SAMPE is an organization where we compete in bridge building and wing building with the use of composite materials. We have won that competition in the open class the last 2 years. And this competition is taking place this week. We'll see how we'll do. We've sent four teams, two bridge teams and two wing teams. Some of the schools that we compete against are the major institutions in the United States and abroad. Okay. Some of our student projects give you a perspective in terms of what our capabilities might be. On the upper left is the Baja Car competition that you may be aware of. It's a very popular project for our seniors. This one I wanted to highlight because it gives, from the industry perspective, what some of our student teams are capable of performing. This was done in collaboration with one of the local companies here in town. They had a device that has a current application in a cranial closure system for neurosurgical tumors. and this enables the closure of a cranial flap. They had an existing device, but wanted to explore potential opportunities with other types of materials and devices. This is a poster that was one of our winning posters in our poster competition last year, but gives you a good overview of what some of our student teams were capable of. They conducted some rapid prototyping. First of all, they came up with some design concepts. This is a SolidWorks drawing, used some novel materials, and then rapid prototyped the system. They had interaction with the company and their design team, as well as worked with the neurosurgery department. This works. At UCLA, the UCLA neurosurgery department, worked with the residents and the chief of neurosurgery. Very good interaction. Their final was actually a presentation with the neurosurgery residents at UCLA last year, and then did a presentation with the company on site. Very proud of their effort. Came up with a very novel system. And then to give you some another flavor in terms of our capabilities, this was a student team that actually worked with one of our professors in the physics department on designing and developing a platform that is used in his research within the physics area. We also have student teams that are involved in outreach programs. This student team, and we have had a continuation on this year with this, is EWB stands for Engineers Without Borders. And this team actually has worked, and they visited Mali in terms of developing some equipment and generation of some of the materials that are available on site to develop some biodiesel fuel. And lastly, to invite you to our student poster competition, which is June 7th, Friday, June 7th, you will see 23 senior projects on display from our variety of areas. You will also see 21 junior projects on display. I have the opportunity to also teach a variety of classes, and at the end of their junior year, I have them do a small project. You will see over 40 projects on display, and the junior projects, they only work in the last quarter, but you will see such tremendous creativity. And I hope to meet with you during the reception, and I want to thank you for your visit, and welcome to UC Santa Barbara.
So those are just two very good examples of how industry is getting involved with the curriculum here on campus, and really the opportunity for companies to bring a lot to the college and to improve our interactions with the local community and others as well. And now I have the pleasure of introducing Yan Zhang, who is a PhD student and also the director of the Leadership and Team Engineering, which is a student group. And it's just an example of one of the student groups that we have here on campus that is really making a difference both locally and in the world, as well as with the students that are taking part.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the introduction, Andy. My name is Yan Zheng. I am a graduate student here, and I'm going to talk to you about the Leadership and Team Engineering Project. This is something I'm very passionate about. In my undergraduate career at UC San Diego, I was part of one of the first team leaders that have a project similar to this, where they went out to the local San Diego community and asked for projects and have engineers do pro bono work for them in the effort to learn more about engineering and hands-on approach. So I'm really interested in starting this here. We've actually had our first team this year, and I'm going to introduce them, some of the projects that they've done this year to you guys. But first, let me just introduce what really is LIGHT about. The LIGHT project really strives to be part of the growth process, and this is more the complete growth process that we see for our students. This is about cultivating a sense of leadership and excellence in leadership through community involvement, which is key in our goals, but also utilizing team-oriented engineering with teamwork, challenging technical engineering issues that community organizations give to us, and as well as using that to see if we get entrepreneurial opportunities. So this kind of gives us a holistic sense of what we think engineering students should be learning and should be on the process of learning in their educational careers. So how does this work? Well, the Santa Barbara community itself has over 200 community organizations, many of which have great aspirations to what they want to do, but some of them have technical challenges that they can't themselves cross over. On the other side, in the Santa Barbara community, we have students who know a lot from classes, have a lot of energy, and really are itching to try out what they've learned in lecture, but probably cannot find a good venue to express that. What the LIFE project does is it really brings these two facets together into one holistic design cycle. And this is the engineering design cycle where we actually take students and in collaboration with community partners and have them design an issue that they think is pertinent to helping the community client go through the process of development, prototyping, and then execution. And so it is definitely a start-to-finish project, not just a lab. Teamwork is very essential to this whole LIFE project, and it's definitely in our name. The type of collaboration you see is extremely complicated, so that students need to learn very quickly that that teamwork is essential. Our teams of students are multidisciplinary. The current teams have CEs, CS, and also EEs, and we're planning on to expanding past the College of Engineering into sciences and also the humanities. These students practice various team roles, such as project leader, team leader, financial manager, and other roles that you see in corporations to prepare them for management positions. Within this context of teamwork, we believe that the students learn a great deal about project management, specifically about effective communication, time management, and leadership. These students work in these teams without the direct orders of faculty members. They are pretty much do everything themselves, where faculty and myself just are there to kind of help them along if they need. We're more like advisors. So all the meetings are set up by themselves, the agendas are set up by themselves, the milestones, quarterly milestones, yearly milestones, and things that they need to accomplish are all set by the groups of students. But everything wouldn't be complete if this is engineering unless we add some technical zest to this. And we believe our engineering students really have an edge on technical skills. The reason is because we don't just focus on the components. We know that what's really important is to have a holistic system engineering approach. Our students can routinely come out of the detailed woodwork and go really from the 30,000 feet level to analyze what really are the broader implications of their designs to the client and to the client's clients. Also, these projects are not exactly what you would find in everyday classrooms. They're very innovative, very unique. And because of that, there are no cheat sheets or solutions that you could look up easily in a book. So students need to learn very quickly that they need to be proactive in finding the resources from themselves or finding professors or outside resources that can help them find the solutions that they need to accomplish their mission. We believe that this helps students develop more hands-on skill sets that they need for when after they graduate, and to definitely be a great benefit to any corporation that they work for. Because of the nature of these projects, the solutions that students normally come up with are very unique and innovative. And because of this, there are definitely entrepreneurial opportunities that can arise. And we've heard earlier that UC Santa Barbara community is very well equipped to handle these situations because of the resources we offer with TMP, VAI, and experienced faculty that they have with venture capital and the such. But I want to point out one great aspect of this entrepreneurial type of environment is that it really strives to challenge the current mindset of our student body. It really goes into having other students feel like, well, if my friend is trying to restart a company, well, why can't I? So then the mindset of these students go from a passive learning to more of an active learning environment so that they're proactive in the education experience they're getting from the UC Santa Barbara system. So let me introduce you to some of the projects we've done this year. Our community client this year has been the Santa Barbara Zoo, and we worked on two main projects with them. The first one I want to introduce is a train tracking system. I'm not sure if you guys have been to the local zoo. They have a very interesting small locomotive system that takes kids around to see the animals. One thing you might not know is that in the summer months, it gets very, very busy, and they only have two trains that run at any given point in time. But it would be very inefficient if these trains were back-to-back as they're going around the track. But then again, the conductors are too busy giving tours to really monitor the speed and adjust to each other all the time. So what we devised for them is a GPS wireless tracking system that, along with a smart LED display, to allow conductors to kind of passively see where the other train is located relative to them, so they can adjust their speed while not interrupting their current display of the animals and such. Along with that, in the hot summer months, the rails will start to expand, and this does cause a lot of derailing. To prevent this, we actually, maybe I shouldn't share that with you guys, but we're working on it, and actually our solution is very innovative. You will see in the bottom right-hand corner is actually a normal car strut. These are actually electrical engineering students working on a mechanical engineering problem. They've devised to use a strut with a linear potentiometer to measure the separation of these tracks. This is called the Dragon system, the detachable rail gauge observation. They drag this on the back of the caboose, and it will give them a real-time measurement along with the GPS of what sections of the track are being separated, and they could create a log versus time of what trouble spots might need to be addressed before a real situation can occurs. So I feel safe now. The next thing is the Santa Barbara Zoo has many kids, over 300 kids in 1 week that comes for the summer day camps. And this is a great event, but then it causes a logistic nightmare for the zoo at times because parents definitely are busy, and sometimes the different people might have to pick up children at any given point in time. So to help really manage this and help counselors manage running 5-year-olds and 8-year-olds running around the zoo, we've made mobile PDA systems with a custom OS that the students have built, tagged along with an online database. Now, this allows the zoo and counselors to keep track of guest information along with who's about to pick them up at what time. And because of this online database is shared by all PDAs, if one child information is changed, every counselor sees the same information change, so there's no mix-up. It is also platform independent, so that we can actually apply this similar situation to any other organization out there, such as the Santa Barbara Museum of Art or the Natural History Museum. Because of the customized OS, we can make hotkeys for any PDA that allows us to have fast access so that the counselors can have easy use whenever they need. And location and the GPS on board the PDA makes it so that certain organizations can utilize the GPS for location-based events, such as, hey, you're right next to the giraffe exhibit. Here's information. Or this is the Monet. Here's some information. So this one management system can definitely be expanded to more of an entertainment type product. So as you see from these two projects, we definitely have a wide array of multidisciplinary skill sets that students need to use, but they also have came up with very creative solutions, and definitely some of them have entrepreneurial activities, and this is within our very first year. So to wrap up, the LIGHT program really is about experiential learning, in that they learn from experience, from really doing it themselves, and not from someone teaching them through from the podium. And this really offers, I believe, a broad set of skills, from technical hard skills to soft skills in how to run a good meeting, how to talk to people who are probably not working well on your team. And these things definitely many corporations can use, because this definitely happens more than just on a student level. And we believe we'll be successful in the future because of the cooperation that the department and ECE and also the College of Engineering has given us, plus with the continued support of corporate affiliates, that this LIGHT program can definitely bloom into something very, very big. So if you have any more questions, I encourage you to find me in the session after this and to ask any questions that you might have. Thank you for your time.
So it's good to know that UCSB students are on those safety issues at the local zoo. The next presentation that we're going to hear from, as we designed this day, we really wanted to give you a picture of as a company, what you can do and how you can get involved. And obviously a critical component of that is recruiting our students. And today we're fortunate to have with us Ignacio Gallardo as well as Don Lubach from the Counseling and Career Services Office. And they're going to talk a little bit about their office and also some important dates and ways that, you can interact with students to maximize your recruiting for next year. So I'll turn it over to them.
Good afternoon. I'm Don. I really have the feeling that I'm in the technical part of campus when all of these PowerPoint presentations are run well and all of the speakers are exactly on time. The rest of the campus is running still on chalk and verbosity, but over here things are really efficient. Well, I get to make a couple macro comments about career services, and then Ignacio will talk specifically in a more granular way about how we can help you meet your recruiting needs, and we won't say any comments that are nano-related. We leave that to our neighbors over here. We don't touch the nano work. Career Services is a wonderful office. We work with the entire campus, all three colleges, and students from their first steps onto campus all the way into graduate school. Some of our clients are in maybe the 23rd grade or so as we work with them. We help students choose majors, change their majors, modify their majors, and call their parents and let them know that they've change their major. We practice that with them. And we also get to work with the employers on campus. And we have an extremely privileged view working with the students at UCSB and finding out what they're up to. And we watch them expand into the campus and try out new things. We help them join things like acting troops, business groups. We love to nudge them towards the TMP program and many of the programs that we're learning about today. And that really fulfills a lot more of their academic mission. Our office's mission officially is putting scholarship, leadership, and citizenship to work. And when I think about the students that we're working with, I often think the whole world, when they look at the College of Engineering specifically, doesn't necessarily think about our graduate and undergraduate students. They're eclipsed by our disproportionate share of Nobel laureates and all these great technologies coming out here. But it's the people in this room that are realizing that just steps from here, there are graduate students toiling away in these labs and undergraduates getting ready for finals and the big challenges in their lives. And you understand that these are the future Nobel laureates. These are the future industry leaders, and you're getting engaged with them, and we really appreciate that about you. The next thing I wanted to say is that if you are we want to make sure that you know about engaging with these programs. And actually, this doesn't happen to me too often as a speaker, but I am qualified incredibly to make the next comment, which is I did a study about 10 years ago for my dissertation on the evolution of UCSB, and I studied the advent of the organized research unit on campus and how that expanded our research mission. Then we moved on to MRUs, the multi-campus research units, and now the centers are rising. This team here, and I'm so proud of the dean and this team putting on this event, because they are creating and co-creating with you the next step in UCSB's evolution, which I don't exactly know what we're going to call it, but what I'm thinking about right now is it will be called YOU, because it's going to involve the construction of UCSB working with the world out there, and it's very exciting. Now, Ignacio will tell you how Career Services can help you and help this this mission that's coming up at UCSB. Ignacio.
Well, thank you. Well, as the employer relations coordinator, I work with local companies and employers and help them connect to the university in terms of recruiting our students. Originally, my background is in career counseling. I began working at Career Services as a career counselor. So I think I have a really good understanding of what it takes to recruit students here at UCSB and how to connect to them in a special way. What I'd like to talk today about is the different options, the different services that we have for employers and connecting to the university. We have a lot of employer services. One I want to talk about, a few that I want to talk about is the Campus Interview Program. This is one of our programs that we're most proud of. Every year we bring over 100 employers to campus to interview in our interview rooms. Our building is equipped with over 16 interview rooms, and employers will schedule a time to use one of our rooms to interview our students. And it's very often that we see a student skateboard up to our building. Oftentimes their hair still wet from surfing out of Campus Point. They'll walk into the building, walk into the restroom, and change into a suit and tie, and then go interview with Microsoft or, Google or one of the many companies that comes recruits here. Then they'll go back, change, and skate off to class. So it's really neat. My office is right next to the interview waiting room. So I often, pop in there, check in on the students, try to calm their nerves a little bit. And also, sometimes I've seen Don literally take off his tie and give it to a student who didn't come prepared enough. But that's what we do as a department in the student affairs. We're here primarily for the students. However, we've got lots of exciting employer services as well. Another service we have is our career fairs. We have many career fairs throughout the year, and I know many of you here have taken advantage of those already. So a couple slides down, we'll have some dates for upcoming career fairs that are also available on our website. One service that we saw a real big increase this year, an exciting increase, is in the number of companies that have come on campus for information sessions. And this is one of the many ways I've collaborated with Andrew and the Corporate Affiliates Program, is bringing employers here and making their information sessions a success. And I think it's an important thing to take to consider when coming to campus and trying to expand your company profile, because I think it really helps the students understand what positions are available and what your company is all about. We also have a variety of sponsorship opportunities, a featured employer program, hot jobs listings, and other sponsorship opportunities such as those. Our internship program is really important too. Don't know what the exact number is, but I believe it's above 300 internships that we've placed with our students. Our career partnership program that I'm also going to talk about is something I'm also very proud of and work directly with. But GauchoLink, most of you are familiar with GauchoLink. Who's been on GauchoLink before as an employer? All right, a good amount of you. Well, GauchoLink is part of the NaceLink network, which is a nonprofit service provided through an alliance of our number one association, the National Association of Colleges and Employers. It's also a collaboration between the Direct Employers Association and Simplicity that provides the technology for the system. Essentially, it is an integrated system that allows us to provide you with an employment connection. It is a free service to all employers. And essentially, it's a database of full-time, part-time jobs and internships, and allows students to log into the system and find jobs and internships, research employers, and do a lot of other cool things. GauchoLink is also the gateway to the campus interview program. So it's how employers schedule their visits and how they arrange to interview all our students. It's also the tool to register for career fairs and request information sessions. So it's really a comprehensive resource that we're really, really proud of, happy with, that allows access to a lot of different services in our building. So here are those career fairs, dates that I promised you. We have two career fairs in the fall, the Science and Technology Fair and also the Business and Beyond Fair. Although we've named those fairs, they really are open to all employers and to all students. So we will definitely look for you at one of those career fairs. And our big, big fair, the one that's probably the most successful one of all our fairs, is BizTech in the spring. And that fair, we were just astounded by the turnout of employers. We sold out over a month in advance from the actual career fair date. So it was sad that we had to turn some of the employers away who were, kind of waiting for the last minute to register. But it was an incredible turnout. We had over 90 employers show up for that, and we had well over 1,200 students attend that event. So we encourage you to come check out our career fairs. It's an excellent way to get face-to-face with students and look for early registration dates as well. And last but not least, just mention briefly about our career partnership program. I did bring some brochures, and they're at the back table over there. Our career partnership program is basically designed for employers who want to support student career development, who want to build their company profile and also support our programs, our many, many programs for students. And so for those employers that are part of our partnership program. We like to assist them in creating a long-term recruiting plan and help them reach our top students. So thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here. I'll give you a very brief overview of a new initiative we've put together over the last 9 months, and we'd be happy to speak with you after in more detail if you're interested. So the Venture Acceleration Initiative, the focus is to give a kickstart to campus startups coming out of UCSB. And it's primarily motivated by this basic challenge. There's an acknowledgement right now in the investment and business communities that there is a gap in the pipeline around translation of innovation from universities out into the business community as products and companies. There's billions of dollars worth of investment, primarily from the government in the form of National Science Foundation, NIH, and so on, going into funding basic research in universities. There's also billions of dollars, and some people even say an excess of capital out in the venture capital markets for investing in startup companies. But there's an acknowledged gap in between in which, you know, the basic research funding is considered no longer applicable to what's called applied research and translational research. And venture capital firms, especially since the bubble in 2000, have moved into later stage deals and see some of the early technology as just too risky or too early. So this is the area that we are looking at addressing. So we've created this new organization. We have three major areas that we intend to support around accelerating startup ventures. The first is what we've called entrepreneurial consulting, which is activities like market analysis, opportunity assessment, business plan development, and also an element of project management to help primarily faculty entrepreneurs that have ideas for technologies that they want to commercialize, think about those technologies in business terms and get them ready to interface with the business community. Second area is business networking, which is building out in a systematic fashion a series of contacts into all the different types of members of the business community that would be helpful at different stages of startup development. So investors is an obvious group, service providers, IP lawyers, corporate representatives like yourselves that may end up being customers or strategic partners of these companies, as well as mentors and potential staff for the startup companies themselves. Third area is seed funding. And that's something that we'll talk about a bit later, but we're exploring creative models for supporting our really early stage startup companies. We're working very closely with the technology management program that you just talked about. VAI focus is starting more from a faculty startup perspective, but in a lot of cases, students do get involved in those companies as early employees or as partners, so we're working closely with the TMP on that. This is not something that, you know, we can't claim to be the leaders in this area. This is actually a growing trend in the U.S. and worldwide because neither, you know, in a lot of cases, the government or the venture community is not stepping in to address that gap. In a lot of cases, it's being addressed by universities being proactive around creating organizations to address this. And so UC San Diego has the Von Liebig Center, MIT has the Deshpande Center, USC just got $22 million to create the Stevens Institute, and so on. So we feel that we are part of a growing trend, and we have a lot of examples that we can draw on in terms of what's the best way to build a model. What is the motivation? One thing that we're encouraged about is that we feel that there are several different categories of stakeholders that stand to benefit from this venture acceleration initiative. As a university, having more of our technology get out into the community helps to increase our profile. We've seen examples like Stanford, Caltech, MIT, who are known as sources of innovation, and that's something that we definitely take very seriously. We want to motivate our entrepreneurially minded faculty by showing that we are there to actually support them in their efforts and encourage their entrepreneurial efforts. And we also see this as a long-term donor pipeline in the sense that a lot of our greatest gifts coming back into the university are from successful entrepreneurs that started life within the university. The business community, if we get our opportunities better prepared for them, they are appreciative of that because often there's talk in the venture community of not enough good opportunities to invest in. But a good opportunity is not necessarily just a good technology. It's a technology that's been validated and developed to a point from a business perspective that an investor actually sees it as an investable opportunity. And so by helping to develop that, we're helping to create more good opportunities for the investment community, and we can also increase the rate of flow of opportunities out of the university. And finally, there are economic and societal benefits to helping to get the technology out there. A lot of the work we do is in the biotechnology field, in the energy field. These are areas that have potential to make a massive impact on society, and you know, we feel that rather than have them, you know, sit for even a few months longer than they need to on a lab shelf, we want to get them out there so that, you know, people can start benefiting from them. We've really gone to pains to try and make this a very integrative effort across our campus so that we have broad support. We have, you know, the deans, we have senior faculty who are behind this program. We also working closely with our licensing office, our technology management program, corporate program, a development team, and of course a growing number of faculty entrepreneurs that are at some stage of the startup process. We are now also switching gears and reaching out more into the business community to build relationships there as well. And by virtue of the fellowship program that I came here on initially, we actually have access to the leadership at the UC president's level as well, who are very excited about the work that's been done here. I will not spend a lot of time on this, but this is a little bit about how we intend to actually execute around these three areas I mentioned before. With the entrepreneurial consulting, we intend to have a core team on campus that will be a go-to point for entrepreneurial faculty, but we also intend to leverage a network of mentors within the Santa Barbara community and beyond who are experienced business people that are willing to give their time to mentor these opportunities. And we are fortunate in Santa Barbara to have a wealth of such people. We also intend to build a similar network in the student community across Southern California. So we can draw on students who are interested in doing real-life business projects around market analysis and business plan development, as well as students who are interested in doing engineering projects, and we heard some examples of that earlier on, so that if we need to develop an opportunity further and do some due diligence on it, either on the business side or on the technology side, we have a chance to use student resources to do that. Students benefit by working on real-life projects. Business networking, a lot of it is one-to-one relationship building. We also have plans at some stage for an affiliates program and a pretty sophisticated software system to manage that network as it scales up. In terms of seed funding, we're looking at a broad spectrum of models that different universities are applying in this area right now. The opportunities both within the nonprofit world and the for-profit world for creating venture funds that can support our startup companies. Where are we right now? We've got a basic vision of how this model is going to work. We're working with a number of entrepreneurs. We've done a lot of relationship building internally within the university. We're now trying to do a lot more of that externally to work in partnership with the business community, build a core team, and also start exploring some of the fundraising opportunities. I wanted to end by talking more specifically about how corporations might be interested in the efforts of the Venture Acceleration Initiative. See several opportunities here. First of all, a lot of the startup companies are often looking for early customers to validate their product, and they, you know, to work with a successful corporation as a beta test customer, as an early customer, is a great thing for a startup. Gives the corporation a chance to look at the technology very early on and shape it in towards their needs. A lot of companies these days are also using the startup world as a way of sort of outsourcing or complementing their research. And so there's a lot of M&A activity going around. Small companies, a lot of corporations are starting their own internal venture groups, and that's another group of people that we'd like to engage with because we see a lot of opportunities for partnership there. We are developing a mentor network, as I mentioned earlier, and we would love to have people from corporations who have expertise in different technology areas or different technology marketplaces to be part of that network. We'll ultimately have an advisory board and similarly welcome your support there. And then finally, as has been mentioned several times today, the entrepreneurial opportunities within VAI will help to expose students to more of the whole entrepreneurial process. And we actually have four interns right now who are working with me and helping to build the VAI group, and they're learning a lot in the process. As we help to accelerate this portfolio of companies, those companies may have opportunities for students to get hands-on experience with those companies And so that's all part of this broader picture that helps to develop students that are not only strong in technology, but also have an awareness of business and entrepreneurship. So I'll be around for the mixer later. I have some flyers which I can give to you. It'd be great to speak with you if you have interest in this program. And I'll hand it back to Andy.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming again. I think it was fitting that we ended on an entrepreneurial bent because we've had a lot of success, as Matt mentioned, with companies from UC Santa Barbara. In fact, Citrix Online, who is here today, is a company that grew out of technology that was developed by faculty and students. What we've tried to do with this program today is give you an overview of a section of the campus and the ways that you can be involved. There's certainly a lot. If you'd like to talk more about how to make your ideal relationship with the university come true, feel free to talk to me. And I would again challenge you, no matter what you do, to think about what you're going to do today with the time and effort that you've invested here in terms of making that vision come true.
You've been listening to a podcast from University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at www.uctv.tv. Thank you for listening.